Guys, and welcome along to another episode of Telecast PH, the Telework PH business process outsourcing podcast, changing the way we look at outsourcing to the Philippines. This is a podcast dedicated to breaking through the cultural barriers in outsourcing to the Philippines. Here you're going to find some business advice, motivational and mindset content, and I'll show you the benefits of outsourcing and how outsourcing can open up a whole new world for your business. And in return, you'll be helping our mission to make an impact on poverty in the Philippines. I'm BizDev Jeff, your host. Thanks for joining, and I'm really excited about today's episode. A few days ago, I had a fascinating conversation with Jenny Sita. Now, Jenny is the owner of InStyle Exchange over in Fort Worth, Texas, and she came on and we talked about using both the left brain, the logical side, and the right brain, the creative side, at the same time, and how to apply that to your business. Let's listen in. Hey guys, I got Jenny Sita here with us. She's the owner of InStyle Exchange over in Fort Worth, Texas. And she's got some interesting things to talk with us today about the brain. It's a fascinating, fascinating subject. Jenny, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for being here and sharing your knowledge with us. To start off, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what your background is?
Yes. So I actually studied computer science and I was a software engineer. And before I entered college, I always wanted to be a fashion designer. So choosing a totally different path when I decided to go into college, that was a shocking thing to my parents. But I learned that you actually can harness both left and right brains because of that that faithful choice. I just learned that everyone has the potential to really be both creative and be very logical and organized.
Right, because that is quite a leap from computers and that logical language and everything else that has to be like, you know, one follow or two follows one, three follows two, the whole nine yards, to basically being into that creative field where you're relying on that creative part of your brain and coming up with new ideas that aren't even out there. So before our call to prepare for this, I went ahead and took one of those online tests, and the test told me that I was right-brained, which I think I kind of already knew. And you know, I'm a writer. I'm passionate about music and everything else. And I do struggle personally with things, logical things, like math. I hate math. What kind of advice would you give to somebody like me that needs that?
Actually, I hear you. So that's why I wanted to discuss with you today on this subject, because growing up, I hated math. I was very bad in it. And my teacher told me when I was 8 years old that I was the dumbest person in the whole class.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't even do, like, something simple, I guess, for a long time. But then one day, I realized that I could do it. Like, I think it's when the teacher's teaching method changed, and I somehow understood how to do math, then it just changed my whole perspective of what mathematics is about. But then that, you know, didn't really give me enough of experience or courage to choose computer science, because that was very intimidating. I think for some reason I fill out all my applications and I put down computer science in it, and I got into all the four colleges I applied to in Boston, Massachusetts, and wow. I was shocked by that too. However, I didn't know why I was not afraid. I just took the challenge, okay, I'm going to study computer science. So the first semester totally completely changed my mind about the different fields. I thought, you know, growing up, like, I like to draw and I wanted to be a designer. So I was completely like right brain. I was highly creative, emotional, but I didn't understand math. However, when I started learning about computer, I just learned how computers think and how the logic, it's a, what the logic is about, how to write algorithm to teach the computer to process tasks, then I realized that it's a highly creative mechanism, I mean, a venue. So I fell in love with computer science as a designer, but I learned the discipline of how to create a product from A to Z by logically defining each function and then execute it. And then at the end, I got the product or the application.
So you found like a lot of creativity in the math and actually the, like you said, the logarithms and writing these logarithms, you still were able to tap into the, and use the creative part of your brain at the same time as the logical brain was being utilized.
Correct. It's funny. When I was a freshman, I realized that half of the class were very highly trained musicians. So Mozart probably will make a very good computer scientist. And so when I just recently watched a play about Ada Lovelace, who was the daughter of Lord Byron, the poet, she was the first programmer because she played the piano.
That's, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I remember hearing some time ago a story about Mozart that he was able to do that. He could compose, or while he was composing, he was also reading, like, so, you know, reading something or having his wife read to him as he was composing. It was, I don't know. Did you ever hear anything about that?
I haven't heard about that, but I could see that because whenever I am in a conversation just now, my mind just go very visual. Like I can go around the world in landscape and open a book. It's really weird. The brain is so powerful. You really can visualize into existence what's in the future. So what a programmer does, an engineer does, is just to make something into reality. I think it's also like you mentioned to me that you're a writer, same thing. In order to create a whole story, yeah, storytelling, but in different medium. So I thought I was using, I was very interested in using fabrics and materials, which I still do because that's what I do every day for our clients. But computer programming is basically using computer languages, and now we have everything like smartphones and everything is user interface. It's completely the same, creating the experience for your audience. So it's the same process. So I fell in love with both process and I totally enjoyed it. And I see that a lot of people were like me. They are like what I was, that they thought they could not do both. But I think everyone is capable of doing that.
So you give me some inspiration here because, you know, after I took that test, it was kind of depressing, you know, for me, because I was like, okay, so what and don't get me wrong, I love being a writer and I love the creative part of myself. However, I know that in a lot of ways it's not practical, especially, you know, in my line of business and doing the outsourcing, and it involves a lot of numbers. It involves a lot of logical thinking and planning and everything else that I've learned to do, but it is still a struggle. And I would like to strengthen that. So you had mentioned, you know, with your creative side, it's the same thing when you're doing your fabrics and your designs, you're bringing in that logical side.
Correct.
The same. So it's melding the two together to make that design or the, you know, whatever project it is you're working on.
Yes. So I always use architects as my analogy whenever I have to explain to people the process, because again, you know, we can, you and I probably will make great architects too. So you visualize what you want to build, right? You don't have it yet. So an engineer, the structural engineer, will work on how the building has to have the right foundation and stand up, and designing all the, you know, things that it's related to how to make sure that the architecture is going to stand up.
Right.
Give it a skeleton, the core, right? Like yoga, you have the core, your body. It's everything so related to our existence. And then the designer part is to choose, you know, the wallpaper, the windows, the colors. And so now you have a building.
Right. And so that makes perfect sense. And that's the perfect way to put it. You're using the logical part to build that structure.
Yes.
You know, to build the skeleton, and then the creative side begins to, you know, put the skin on it and to give it the beauty of, you know, and the aesthetics.
Yes.
Wow. That's a real eye opener. I had never thought about it that way.
Computer science changed my whole world view about what things are. Like, it's the foundation. The math is the foundation of everything. And then the creative side is to beautify it, to create on top of that different versions. But then deep down, our DNA is the same.
Okay, so how could somebody use this today in their business? How can somebody start putting this this thought process, this mindset to work?
Okay, so I'll just use a wearable technology as an example. Say, if I really want a watch that can open the door before I reach the door. So, you know, now we have that kind of capability. And so the watch itself is the product, but you're going to sell it. You're going to build a company around it. You're going to have your market defined. You're going to get your capital raised. So that's your business plan. So that's a very much the same thing as a specification for building a building. So you have your execution plan. You detailed enough about what you want to be, how you're going to do it, and then the end result. So then that's how you create a business, even though initially just dreaming about a watch that can open doors, that can give you your heartbeats and different things back. But now you are actually opening it as a business. You're going into it, establishing it as something that it's going to generate you income.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Just like we were talking about. So you take that idea, you build the structure. And then again, you begin to put the skin on it, you begin to put the aesthetics and everything else in order to take that to market, to be able,
yes,
you know, so that it becomes attractive, you know, to the people that wouldn't want to buy that watch or whatever the idea may be.
Exactly. It could be just a blouse, it could be a jacket, but it could be a bike. So everything I learned in computer science just opened up all the doors, or a whole new way to look at everything in life. Like raising a child, I still use my computer science principle, but then there's the flesh and blood, the child itself in the mix, right? But the principle is there. If you want to build someone, you have to help them ground it, like learning the basics, have a good foundation.
Right, the fundamentals, then, absolutely.
Exactly. Personalities are not tangible. Personalities are abstract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the design part. Like, that's the right brain, but the left brain is how do you build that foundation.
So when somebody brings to you, when one of your clients approaches you, or a prospective client, and you begin to talk about it, so like, you know, I've noticed on your posts on LinkedIn, what was it, the aprons for the hotel?
Yes.
So when somebody brings something like that to you, like, hey, we need some wearables. How much information do you need to get going on something like that?
So in the business world, we call it like finding out about the requirements. And that's what I always do in the first place. And it's to find out, okay, if the apron is for a waiter in a 5-star restaurant, and then what kind of meals they serve. Basically, I have to lift through that person's experience first, ask questions, or even go on site to find out how they do their work. And if there's another interior designer involved or brand designer involved, which usually there will be someone else on the team, and I will be working with that person to make sure that the color scheme and everything is just in harmony with their brand mission. So that's a collaborative work there. And, you know, also on my part, I need to know what kind of materials, because you don't want stains, you want something easy washing, you want, you know, things that that are appropriate. So not everything is appropriate for that particular usage. So my expertise come in when people don't know where to begin to design their product or their apron or uniform. I can help them with that.
So you start right from scratch. Yes. You know, they can just bring to you, they can come and say, hey, Jenny, listen, I got this staff of waiters, or I got this staff that, and they need uniforms, or I need this. And what are your ideas? So you immerse yourself into the, you know, their company and look at the practicality of it. You know, it's really funny because in my former life back in the US, I was a chef for many years. I spent 20 years of my life in a kitchen. And I could never understand. And I know they told us in school, back in culinary school, that, you know, chefs wear white because it shows cleanliness. And I'm like, have you ever seen us at the end of the shift? There's nothing clean about a white jacket. I never understood why they give us white jackets. But then they say, well, the checkered pants are so it doesn't show stains. But then why are they giving us white jackets? I could, you know, but I guess that's just the classic way of doing it. You know, I loved my chef jacket. That was a sign of status. You know.
Yeah, I realized that you guys loved your name on your jacket. Yep. And that's, yeah, status symbol that you have achieved that level of mastery. Talking about that, whenever I go out to eat, I have to watch what people are doing and look at what they're wearing. A lot of time I find out that because we all have different body types, and women were totally uncomfortable in the uniforms that they were given to wear.
Right. Yeah. That I've heard that complaint, and I've actually seen, I mean, you can see it. You can tell when somebody's uncomfortable.
Exactly.
You know, like if you take me to a social situation at where I have to wear a tie and I look at the pictures, I can see them myself. I'm like, man, I look like the most uncomfortable person in the world. I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy, you know? So, mm-hmm. You definitely want that kind of staff to be comfortable. They're moving a lot, you know?
Yes.
They're talking with people, you know? Yeah, exactly. And they got spills. They got everything else going on. They have to bend down. They have to lift. They have to reach high. So it is extremely important that they be comfortable and have breathable, you know, clothing. But exactly. Also on the other end, so there's the logical part of it, but then the creative part of it, you need them to have the proper designs, the proper, you know, what color schemes, yeah. I guess you would say, to blend in with the culture of the restaurant or hotel.
And also the pockets, right? I mean, I was a waitress once in college, and so I know that. It's so some designers never work in that field, and then they design uniform. And then, like, do you know that we have to go back and forth a lot? And the pockets has to be big enough to, you know, you can really use it. Nowadays, a lot of restaurants are using iPad too, so you have things to put in it. And but then you don't want your aprons to be causing you having back pain, because when it's so heavy, everything was on your back, the lower back.
Right.
So I think about things like that. Yes.
Well, no, I mean, and those things need to be thought about. They really do. And I'm certain, like, you know, talking to the staff and saying, you know, how do you feel about your current uniform or your, you know, your current aprons is a great starting point as well. Now, you and I were just in a meeting earlier that was really interesting. And you told a story about how you began this business. And if it's okay, I'd love for the listeners to hear that story, because I think it's inspirational.
Yes, I moved here with my husband because he took a job in Fort Worth, and I just decided that I'm going to give myself a chance to be a designer once, because I was in software development. I loved it, and I did a good job. Like, my supervisors, they were still connecting with me on LinkedIn and always give me encouragement. The other day, I just got a love letter from one of the supervisors. It was just so heartwarming when they are still following me and giving me a lot of fan love. And so, but jumping into a business, that was very much a big leap of faith again. I guess it's because if I look back in my whole life, choosing a major that I wasn't comfortable with and moving to different states. I was in Boston and I met my husband online. And so I moved to Atlanta just in a heartbeat. I just think that what is interesting and that I am not afraid to take risks. I think being a business owner, you have to have that quality too.
I would have to agree with you. And I do believe that that's something that holds a lot of people back when they have a great idea, an amazing idea, but you know, it's getting out of the comfort zone and, you know, acting and taking action on that idea, to go into a whole, you know, new world of uncertainty, leaving that security, yeah. You know, and then going into that world of uncertainty, especially financially speaking. You know, yes. You know, am I ready to invest this much money? Will I ever see it back? Yeah, those kind of things do hold people back.
Yes. So I felt the same way at the beginning when I started my business, because my ex-business partner, she wanted to do it. And I said, no, I'll never risk my life for this, being a business owner. But I did it. And the reason I used the term ex-business partner was because she, unfortunately, 2.5 years ago, she took her own life. Oh, so, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Now, if you notice lately, I talk about a lot about being grounded. Just really focusing on the end goal. Do not focus on the money and the dollar amount. Focus on what you love to do. That's very important, because if you lose sight of why you're running a business, why you're doing what you do, then you become, a lot of time people could lose themselves. Once you lost yourself, unfortunately in this case, it may be a little bit of a tragic ending.
And that is one thing that I've noticed with your content from following you on LinkedIn, is that your content is extremely well-rounded. You made a post earlier about time to relax, kick back and have some martinis. And then, you know, a couple days later, you're posting about your business. You keep everything, it seems, in a nice balance, a nice work-life balance.
Yes. And that's how I live it. And I just want to share my experience with people.
You know, thank you very much for all of this information. This, your experiences, like you said, you wanted to pass on these experiences, and these experiences are gold. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people are starting to really realize. And that's why stories are so popular on LinkedIn and Instagram, because people are getting into hearing the trials, the tribulations, and what did they do to get to where they are now? And what do I need to do in order to get to that point?
Yes, I especially right now, we are facing a global challenge. And one thing that I notice every time there's something like that happen in history is the most innovative time for people. So I'm getting calls now, okay, I have this idea, I really want to try it. I really want to execute it. And so this is the right time actually to step out, you know, and try something that you have always wanted to do.
Oh, absolutely. So if somebody does, you know, and they hear this podcast, how can they reach you? What's the best way to get a hold of you so that you can have that conversation?
I would love, I love LinkedIn. So if they could connect me with, on LinkedIn, that will be helpful. That's the first step. Or they can come to my website at www.instyleexchange.com, one word. Then we can, you know, set up a time to discuss whether their ideas are valid or how we can go to the next step.
Great. And I'll put those links in the description when we post the podcast as well. Yeah. So that anybody that needs to get a hold of Jenny and talk about their ideas, or, you know, just start that conversation, because that's what it's all about right now. You know, like Jenny said, we're in the middle of this global challenge, and it is global. And so let's just start, you know, conversations. Let's start looking at that post-outbreak plan.
Yes.
So Jenny, thank you so much for being here and coming on and sharing your knowledge and everything else that you have learned, you know, through life and about the brain and how you know, I think that a lot of people might be actually doing that. They don't know why they're doing what you've described, tapping into the left brain and the right brain, but with that knowledge, they may be able to strengthen that even more. And you've personally helped me and given me hope to know that maybe perhaps I can strengthen my math skills. And my other logical sides. I'd love to have you back on in the future, so we can, you know, keep up with your progress, and especially post outbreak, and give us some updates on how things are going.
Wonderful. I look forward to.
All right. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye bye.
And that will wrap it up for this installment of Telecast PH. I've been BizDev Jeff. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe. And if you're on the YouTube channel, I'd appreciate it if you'd like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be notified when I upload new content. And I'm always looking for great feedback, so comments are always welcome. And of course, if you want to find out more about Telework PH, all you got to do is hop on over to www.teleworkph.com or hit me up on LinkedIn. Just search BizDev Jeff Thompson or the hashtag BizDev Jeff. And as the late, great Dr. Wayne Dyer said, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Take care, everyone. Be safe. This is BizDev Jeff signing off.